That was Questionable Beef by Lola Balatro. And I've got Paul Thomas on the phone. How's it going, Paul?
I'm doing all right, Ethan. How are you doing?
Doing good. So, now, Paul, what exactly do you do in the band?
I play, we've got two guitars. I do more rhythm stuff, and then Cork does lead. So I also do vocals as well.
Oh, cool.
Jeff and I share vocals most of the time. And Cork does a lot of backup vocals.
So do you do vocals in Questionable Beef?
Yeah, those are my vocals on that one.
Awesome. Very cool. So thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Lola Balatro, that's kind of a confusing name for me. Is it like Spanish for something?
No, it's actually the origin is when we were coming up with band names, our original name was actually Oprah Frampton. Yeah, that's exactly my thought. Jeff had written it on a napkin before. The name came before a band. It was like, oh, we have to have a band now. And then when we started digging in, you know, and putting money into it, it was one of those things like, you know, she could sue us.
Right.
And, you know, everybody gives you that advice, like, good publicity. But, you know, I'm sure they sue 1,000 people a day, and
right.
Nobody's going to notice us. So before we put any money in. But then anyway, the name comes. Cork was mentioned. He has a greater great aunt that he's, like, is way back when family was Finnish, and she was like a burlesque dancer in World War II
okay.
in Germany, and that was her stage name. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, in theory, I mean, we don't know if it's true or not, but he mentioned it, and even if he's pulling our leg, we liked how it sounds, so we went with it. So that's what we went with.
So am I saying it right when I say Lola Balatro?
Yeah, you might be one of the three people on Earth who's said it right the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we get a lot of just, yeah, it's pretty much how it's spelled, but,
well,
yeah.
I'm glad I got it right. I always get so nervous when I say band names or people's names that I'm not completely familiar with on the air. It could be embarrassing, but I'm glad I got it right.
We're just going to end up being Lulu Banana just to make it easy for people. But
that'll be your kids' album.
Yeah.
So now, how long have you guys been together?
I was actually, before I called it, I think we played our first little gig in maybe 2007 in the summer, and then, you know, we all have different stuff going on comedically and job wise, mm-hmm. so we didn't kind of get back together and play more maybe until the following year. About 3.5 years, I think, on paper, but
okay.
You know, it kind of goes in spurts as people do their different things.
So now, are you also a stand up comedian?
Yes, I am. Yes, again, stand up and sketch.
Oh, cool. So now you've been doing that longer than the music?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, Jeff as well. His group is Monsters from the Id. They've got some great stuff online you can check out. And then my site's you can check out bigheadpaul.com. That has some video stuff. So he's done a lot of video. I've done a lot of video. Cork is the more true musician of the band who does the lead stuff, and they've known each other most of their lives. So that's how that kind of hooked up.
So now, did you meet, you said John is the other guy?
Jeff. Jeff is,
Jeff.
Yeah.
So did you meet Jeff in your stand-up?
No, we took classes at the Second City Training Center, probably like 10, 11 years ago.
Oh, wow.
That's how we met. And I had my group going on, his group going on, and then we had always just wanted to work together. So we started working together kind of on another group maybe like 5 years ago, and then the band came about.
Oh, cool. So.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how you write the lyrics, just because you have an experience with stand-up and humor.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, songs, it's just, you know, somebody comes in with an idea, or the nice thing is, like, for example, like Questionable Beef, I actually, that's one song that predated the band. I had that, and I did it
stage,
but I didn't really want to be a solo musical comedian on stage, and but I brought that to the band, and then, you know, you add Cork's lead guitar and Jeff's harmony, and it sounds a lot better than what I did.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you if you wrote that song after the Taco Bell lawsuit, because that was a huge thing with the, you know.
Actually, no, but we were kind of hoping, you know, it's a big ocean out there to get some traction with that. And hopefully in the future, more people will be hurt by Questionable Beef,
so we can
use it to our advantage, you know?
That's great. You guys must have been like, oh my God, this is perfect.
It's like perfect. It's like, how do we let the world know? So, you know, we have a music video for it. You hope people don't get sick, but you do hope there's more Questionable Beef in the world that we can take advantage of.
So that was the song Did you base it on an actual experience of...
You know what? I don't know that I did. I think somebody just said the phrase once, or you see it, and it's like, well, that's a funny song.
Yeah.
And then you kind of forget where it started.
That's great.
But that said, I've had some questionable beef in my life quite a fair amount.
Are you a Taco Bell fan?
I'm since I'm in Chicago, we have so many taquerias, it's almost a travesty to go to Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah, very true.
Yeah, you know, and then they're open 24 hours, and, you know.
Yeah.
But that said, I'm not turning it down.
Okay. So now, in addition to guitar, do you play any other music? Do you play any other instruments?
I have like rudimentary piano, you know, enough to play a Richard Marx lick. I don't think piano things are called lick, but yeah, just kind of a basic stuff in those.
Okay.
And then, yeah, any rudimentary percussion instrument.
Now you said. Your other band's called Big Head Paul?
Oh, that's just my website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you
have a lot of Paul Thomases in the world, yep.
Okay. So now how many other bands do you have or have you had?
That's my first one.
Oh, yeah?
That's my first one, yeah. So I didn't come from that background, so it's kind of one of those life things where I think a lot of people never admit they really want to be in a band, and when you have one, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Now, are you guys inspired by musical comedy or just regular music or just comedy or both?
Probably more so the music. I mean, like Jeff and I are you know, in the comedy world and that, but we all three have a great love of music. So that's what's kind of cool about it is that we treat the music seriously, like to make actually good songs. So it's not like a funny song, but it's got this just kind of basic, not actually basic's not bad. I shouldn't say basic, but just some really just simple thing. We like it so that if you just hear the CD and you don't hear the lyrics, you like the songs.
Right.
Musically. That's always kind of a goal.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes you hear music comedy and the music is really just like a side note.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely like that about you guys.
Yeah, and having a lead guitar on there. Like, you know, Cork can do a lot of stuff. And
right.
Even on the album, there's like basically there's 10 different solos on there that just stylistically, it's just, to me, it's pretty amazing.
Now, any of your songs, have you turned them from stand-up bits that you've done, or are they all just separate thoughts?
I'd say separate songs, yeah.
Yeah.
I just keep a file. You know, if you get a funny idea for me, I just put it in a file. You know, you write everything down, and it'll either end up in a sketch or a movie line or, you know, a sketch line or a mm-hmm. stand-up. So it's possible.
Yeah. So I guess who are your biggest inspirations?
Well, for the band, we like to say it's Alice in Chains and Gordon Lightfoot, that combination. We all have different ones, actually. I mean, I know Jeff's a big Beatles fan. Cork, which still blows my mind, is a big Stone Temple Pilots fan, which is fine. It's just weird when you have a lead guitarist who's
right.
big into Stone Temple Pilots. It
yeah.
doesn't seem like quite the thing. I'm still stuck in the early 90s, you know, Pearl Jam, Screaming Trees,
okay.
Soundgarden.
So yeah. Do you have any musical comedy influences, though?
Probably not really.
No?
I don't think we do as much. I mean, we you know, we like Tenacious D and...
of course, yeah.
Yeah, it, you know, of course, Matt and Weird Al Yankovic, but I don't know that influences us. You know what I mean?
You're not, right,
you're
like, just stuff
let's do a thing
on.
Like theirs. Yeah, so you're kind of inspired by them and you like, and you also, in the sense that in things that they laid down, especially like Weird Al, the stuff that he did, you don't want to tread on that where people go, oh, that's like a Weird Al thing. So.
Right.
Pretty aware of that, but
so now, how recently did you learn to play guitar? Or is that something you kind of always done?
I used my sister's hand-me-down. That sounds really like I'm, you know, poor little kid. No, and my oldest sister had a guitar, and I'm like, I want that. My friend had it. So I was like 19, and
okay.
I just learned a couple chords in college, and then it's just on and off. Where I should be a lot better than I am because I'm a three chord Sally still.
Oh.
whereas Cork, you know, he's one of those guys who hold himself up in his room for, you know, 10 hours at a time.
Right.
So it's he's kind of where the guitar, the good, anything that sounds good on guitar comes from Cork.
Well, that's, now, when did the album come out? Was that something that just came out?
Yeah, a little bit ago, in May or June.
Oh, okay. So that's been out for a while.
Yeah. It's been out for a while, you know. We're just trying to get some traction.
Now, do you guys have it printed on albums, or is it all digital?
It's all digital. We do have some earlier iterations that we printed, and then we went back in the studio and did a more just kind of beefed up stuff that after the first iteration. So the printed ones are older version, but we have good artwork. I'll send you one.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
we'll probably put the images online because we put a lot of thought into them, but then nobody, it's kind of at that point where people aren't buying CDs anymore, even
right.
if you put on their thing and you're sitting here with a handful, but they look cool anyway.
Yeah, you know, I was curious if you guys had them on a hard copy or anything, because I noticed there's a bonus track at the end of the album.
I'm just curious, which one are you looking at from where did you see the bonus tracks? I don't even know what it looks like.
There was, I don't know, for Basement Head, there was like,
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a weird thing. You know, when you have stuff digital, there's no, it's like you can't hide a track anymore.
Right, yeah.
You know?
It's just like, the
song is 9 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that kind of kills the fun of somebody popping in a CD. Yeah. Have you heard it?
Yeah, I listened to it. Like, I was like, is this really a 9 minute song? So then I like skipped to the middle and I heard silence. I'm like, okay, bonus track. I think it's always funny when a digital album has the bonus track, because then when you put it on your MP3 player, then it's awkward when you're listening to stuff on random.
I know. That's what I thought of after the fact, where it's like, yeah, it's cool to have on the CD, and then you have to send the same CD, and it's like, well, if somebody has that in their mix, they're never going to listen to us again because we're the guys who had on silence, you know? But that's what it is, and I guess we'll just, I don't know. It's one of the things you want to do when you have a band.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Since we're comedy, we can kind of play it off or, you know, take it for what it is.
Maybe what you guys should do is just make it one track, like make a single, but then put the rest of the album in that one track.
That's not a bad idea.
That would be...
That is not a bad idea. We're not above or below that.
Okay, great. You know, I actually used to have a comedy band in high school. We were called Carbonated Meat, which I guess...
Carbonated Meat?
Yeah, it kind of goes good with the
questionable
beef.
That is fantastic. What did you play?
I played the sing.
The sing?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't play any.
Give me the names of your songs.
Well, you know, we were only together for senior year in high school, so we didn't really get all that much, but our most popular song was 665, The Neighbor of the Beast. And
that is fantastic.
Yeah. I'll send you a track of it.
I would like a track of that. That's what my next question is, if you had a track of that, The Neighbor of the Beast.
Yeah, we did that, and then we had, we only did like...
By the way, that sounds like Jeff. That's very much Jeff's humor, too.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely send it to you.
That sounds like
something
Madden would come up with. Yeah.
So we only did like two or three live shows, and we had this one song, which was pretty much an only live show song called I Need a New Mic Stand. And what we did was we made a mic stand out of an old vacuum cleaner, and then we would just tape the microphone to it. And then I would pretend to break it, and then I'd be like, I don't know what to do. So then the bassist would put it between his legs, and I'd get on my knees, and I'd sing this song about needing a new mic stand with a lot
fantastic
of double entendre blowjob references.
Sure.
Yeah, so it was a nice little high school treat for us to do
but
that.
But it didn't last?
No. We all went to different schools, so.
Yeah. I'm anxious to hear 665, The Neighbor of the Beast.
I'll send it to you.
Did you sing it with a guttural howl?
665, The Neighbor of the Beast. Yeah. And then we played it for a talent show, and people loved it. We were like huge sensations. Then we sold T-shirts, and we made like $400 selling T-shirts. But we put it all to charity. It was really cool.
Oh, that's like $400 more than we've been selling T-shirts.
We need to have a good charity behind you, and then, and you'll do it. Well, so
maybe we could cover that one later.
Hey, that'd be great. Yeah. I'd be happy to guest sing or something.
Okay.
So. Now, do you guys have any merchandise, any T-shirts or anything?
Well, the coffers were empty after the CD, so we're trying to fill those to build up the old merch.
Do you have a favorite song on the album?
That's a good question. Actually, this sounds weird when you listen to your own music a while. The one that's probably the subtler ones I like more, actually.
Yeah.
Even like Basement Head and then Access to Your Heart. They're a lot more musical, but it's not something that you just necessarily get laughs at.
Right.
To me, they're hysterically funny because they're so self-important.
Yeah.
and absolutely ridiculous lyrics when you actually think of what you're listening to. And actually, neither one of them we play live, so in the fact, if we wanted to play them tomorrow, we'd have to rehearse for a couple hours, probably. I'll find out. We have some new ones in there, but I got two black friends.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, how did you guys decide which songs to put where on the CD? Was there a lot of thought, or was it kind of just...
Oh, yeah, a lot of thought. Yeah, I appreciate that question, because that's all, science. You kind of look at you look at other things and the ones that you like, and you want to come out of the gate hard,
Right.
Just like a running order in a show where people go, okay, that's what the band is. And then for us, it was a little bit easier in the sense that with three people singing, you don't want to have, like, me singing back-to-back, necessarily.
Right, so you can split it up.
Which is possible, or even just, and then the content matter. The ones that are maybe a little more misogynistic, you don't want to have three of those in a row.
So there's a whole formula you guys had to follow.
Yeah, you gotta have your formula. You gotta put your Hey Now, Wrecking Ball, about a guy with one ball.
Right.
You gotta have that separated from Regretta a little bit.
I was really hoping that the Hey Now song was going to be like a tribute to Howard Stern or something.
Oh, why? I don't get it.
Oh, do you listen to Stern Show?
Briefly. I never have time and lock in.
Oh, okay.
It's been a while since I used to listen regularly, yeah.
Okay, so what he does is, I can't remember what the TV show he got it from was, but when people call in, instead of saying, hey, how's it going? Good, how are you? You just say, hey now, and then you start talking. So it's kind of like a thing. They say hey now all the time on the show. I still like the song. I just thought it was going to be a Howard Stern tribute or something.
Oh, well, maybe it is now. Yes, it is.
Yes.
It definitely is. Can you get his people to...
Actually, I applied for an internship for this summer, so maybe if you could change some lyrics, give it to me.
You will infiltrate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now, are any of the songs that you're doing live going to make it on the next album, or do you have any, show-only, live-only tracks?
Yeah, probably two. Just one stylistically, it doesn't fit, and actually one we haven't done for a while. The nice thing is we've been writing some more stuff that we've been playing live that'll definitely be on the album. Probably been about a year and a half, we had a monthly gig at a bar just playing in a corner.
Okay.
And that was kind of nice because it was from 10 to 1, but our thing was we're not playing covers.
Right.
So you pay a 45 minute setting off and a 45. So we did cheat a little bit and you play a song, a couple times because there's different people in there.
Right.
But that kind of forced us to write a couple more. And a couple of songs that we wrote, they sound cool. But they're probably really in the fun, and the lyrics are funny, but they don't punch quite as hard.
Okay.
So
now
we'll see.
Doing a gig like that, we're just kind of in the background. Is it kind of awkward to sing these funny lyrics and to not really get any reaction from the people?
No, it's so much fun playing. It's so much fun playing live, and we kind of know now which ones and where stuff is hitting. But when you have when you're playing, unlike stand up where your timing is affected, by an audience or kind of getting your head. We're playing music, so you play the song and it doesn't change tempo because people don't laugh.
Right.
And we just played Saturday and had a really nice set, but it was an older crowd. Probably the median age was, it was a suburb that most people probably, 40, between 40, 50. And so they're not necessarily going to be like, wow. And obviously if people are having some beers and you get a younger crowd, it skews differently.
Now, but, what is the audience favorite song? Is it Questionable Beef?
No. That's a good question. Depends on the night, but if you got everybody going and you end the night with Rockstar, it goes pretty great.
Yeah, is that why it made it first on the album?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where it's either we either play it first or last because it's a good introduction to the band. But a lot of times we close with it.
Oh, okay.
And Name That Panda.
Yeah.
usually when we do play, we want the ones that for that crowd. You kind of choose what time of night, and we don't play a lot of long sets. So a lot of times we're playing 3, 4, 5 songs opening because we play more in comedy theaters.
Okay, so
we don't really play music joints because the words have to come across and we're acoustic. So
right.
So we're doing a lot of opening 15, 20, 25 minutes for people.
Is it kind of a pain to have to set up a whole band for?
No, because it's acoustic. Three guys. Yeah, so we just have to have a couple DI. If it's and a lot of times it's in a Chicago has a lot of black box theaters, so we don't need to even plug in. anything. And then if it's somewhere else, we just put a couple DI boxes and three mics, and we're good to go.
Now,
so that's what's nice. There's no big load in or anything.
Now, do you and Jeff open for the band or anything?
No. When we're actually, we do some like Chicago underground comedy here is at a band joint. That's where those are stand-ups. But probably say most of the time we're playing with other sketch groups.
Oh, okay.
And people who aren't on mic. If we're a place where somebody's on mic, then we'll go on mic. That kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know, because that would be awesome. You guys could set up a whole show. Like, you could have stand-up introduction, then a band, and it's just you guys. You get to keep
all
the money.
We've played stuff like that, and for our CD release, we had a couple people doing that stand-up and other goofy stuff.
Have you ever had a problem forgetting lyrics on stage?
Yeah, the previously mentioned songs, "Access to Your Heart," and "Basement Head." I remember our CD release, we were, and it happens to everybody once in a while. You just get on autopilot, and then when you start thinking about what you're doing,
right,
you miss a lyric. But getting ready for our CD release, we're so busy with stuff, and then all of a sudden we're playing a couple songs that we hadn't played too much.
Now, I guess it's different for a regular musician, because they can just sing whatever and people don't really care. But songs where you have
versus
comedy,
losing a laugh,
right.
I'll just pull out. Jeff and I kind of have it down, I think. Where if I don't feel confident, I won't say anything if it's on a harmony. That's the nice thing, is we have a lot of stuff doubled. So if one person misses it, the other person's doing it.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't seem as much like a mistake.
Right.
But every once in a while we cross lines, literally, and say two different lines at the same time. But
now
we're getting better at not showing it on our faces like we screwed up.
Right.
Which is pretty,
I think it's always amazing, like, if you see a live performer and you know that they messed up, it's got to take so much effort to just make it not actually show. So
yeah. We're getting better at that. I think we're getting it down. Takes
so
a while, but
maybe eventually you just don't have to know any of your lyrics, as long as you can
exactly.
play it off that you do.
Yeah, and there's one time it was Questionable Beef, and I started a whole step too high and playing. So when I hit to the chorus, I realized I had started, and I just kind of did an impromptu key change, which I don't know if I played it off or not, but I know the other two guys were like, "What?" A key change right at the top of the song. Yeah, so I'm still taking flack for that one.
Well, with your sketch, and did you say you do some improv too?
Oh, I don't do improv, no.
No? Well, do you ever improv songs on stage?
No, but actually, it's funny you said that. We're trying to do that more, like to do the old Pearl Jam thing,
Right.
where you add, you break out of a thing and you play something different at the beginning of the song, like combine a song or extend it and then add some maybe lyrics that people know. So we're going to start experimenting with that. Ultimately, you have to be comfortable and do your own songs well enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're kind of at that point now, and that should be kind of fun.
Cool.
And we might cover six. We might just do lyrics to 665, the neighbor of the beast, in the the old Pearl Jam thing, where you're like, "What is that? The lyrics to a Fugazi song? I think it is. I gotta buy that bootleg."
I guess stay on the line. Or
okay,
do you have my cell number?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so just give me a call after the interview, and I'll get your email, and I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And stuff. We'll work it out behind the scenes,
okay,
so everyone doesn't.
Okay, you want to call back right now or later?
You can call me back right now. I had a couple more questions.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, I guess I was just going to ask you if you have any plans for another album now that it's been almost a year.
We're writing songs and having them there. So, the first one, since it's self-financed, that's really the one and only concern when you're doing it. So, we hope to get some traction with this one and then to get back in there, because that's the normal progression of a band.
Awesome. Well, I guess I just remember another thing I meant to ask you earlier. Do you have any of your stand-up online or any plans for a stand-up comedy CD?
For me, no, because I really actually spend more of my time doing solo sketch comedy.
Okay.
So all my videos are online for myself, but the stand-up one, I do more live, and I don't spend as much time on it, so I don't like to put my stuff online.
So
not that it's not terrible, I just don't like putting stand-up online. It's a live thing for me.
I'm the same way. Are you a Mr. Show fan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, me too. I'm a big Mr. Show fan.
Yeah.
What about, like, The State? What's your opinion on The State?
Oh, The State. You know what? I want to go back, because I remember, watching a couple, yeah, I like The State a lot. I haven't seen, what's it been, 20 years?
Yeah, they just put it out on DVD a year or so.
Yeah, I probably haven't seen any of the sketches for 20 years.
You should check them out.
I remember visiting my buddy and him introducing it to me. And that, it was like my freshman or sophomore year. And,
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of sketch comedy. I'd love to see you do it sometime. Do you write your own sketches or do you perform other? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Every kind of that's a Chicago thing. I mean, you write your own sketches.
Right.
You're doing. Yeah. Right. So people are writer performers. Yeah.
So are you part of like a sketch troupe?
I was before. I had a group called the Defiant Thomas Brothers, and we broke up it's been about 5 years ago. And then I've been working on the solo sketch stuff.
Okay.
Which is kind of it's a little bit different beast. But, you know, it's like doing characters and solo scenes.
Okay, so is it like monologues?
Yeah, technically they're monologues, but they're not just, you know, there's other people in the scene, but you're not like running around on stage playing multiple characters.
Okay.
So it's kind of a separate, you know, like the Bob Newhart telephone stuff?
Okay, yeah.
Like that, but not, I don't have any scenes with the telephone, but right. Where you're getting the comedy from the fact that you don't know what the other person said until you're saying your line.
Oh, okay.
And some of them are like more monologue. Like for example, if you're a teacher talking to a straight at the audience, which could be students.
Mm-hmm. So
but, yeah.
So what would you say is your biggest comedy inspiration?
Oh, for me, I'd say my brother, my older brother. Just growing up. Yeah. That's just kind of got me into it. But I'm, you know, looking back, I like Stephen Wright, I think, probably had an impact on me when I was a little kid.
He's
I remember
great.
Seeing one of his albums, whichever it was, VHS.
Right.
And, and just, you know, just getting them, just hit maxim every line and just that kind of cleverness.
Yep.
But, yeah. I know, Jeff is, those guys are big Mr. Show fans. And
that's awesome. Well, I'm always glad to support other talented comedians, musicians, and Mr. Show fans. So,
we appreciate it.
So you got the trifecta there. So we'll definitely. The album is called Lola Bellatro.
Yes, it's a self-eponymous album.
Excellent. Yeah. And we can
just Columbia House description: eponymous debut from Chicago area rockers.
And we can get it on iTunes. We can get it on Amazon, and it's by New Wave Dynamics.
Yes, sir.
Great. Well, Paul, it was great talking to you.
Great talking to you.
Well, let's talk off the air, though.
And very well.
We'll get some more juicy details that
none
of my listeners can hear.
Okay.
Sounds good. Okay. Thanks a lot, Paul. Talk to you later.
Bye.
That was Paul Thomas from Lola Bellatro. And you can check them out online at lolabellatro.com, facebook.com/lolabellatro, or you can check them out on iTunes or Amazon MP3, and you can check out their self-titled release, Lola Bellatro, and all those great songs, and my favorite song, Questionable Beef, which we just heard, here on Alternative to Sleeping with Ethan Allman, here on WCDB Albany 90.9 FM, and on comedypipe.com as a live video feed. Let's see who we have on next.